listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live. 200 stations, coast to coast. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We come to you every weekday, and we've got an action packed hour for you this Tuesday. Wow. What a game. What a game. I sound a little weird in the mic. Now I sound better. Maybe my booming voice. It was, I couldn't handle it. What a game yesterday, guys. I mean, the whole season on, I mean, if Golden State goes up 3-1, tough for Houston to come back. But they win a close one. It's 2-2, and all the conversation is starting. Wow, is this the end of Golden State? There's been a huge odds adjustment. We'll get to that. Pros Who Know, Around the Wise Guy Roundtable, Fezzik, Brad Powers, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start with that game that you referenced in the NBA as the Houston Rockets beat the Golden State Warriors 112-108 last night in Houston. That series is now tied at 2 games apiece with Game 5 coming up from Golden State tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's pretty much where we started. So we'll look at the game, but let's pull back and look at the bigger picture. So, Fez, before this series started, 7 games ago, we'll call it a virgin series. Speaking of that, what a shirt you got on. what color is that? I mean, if we were on like a TV show about, is that teal?
Teal is what I would
Turquoise
say.
Teal.
Turquoise teal.
I like to wear this with my members only jacket.
No, hold on a second. And is it particularly supposed to be gathering around your breasts so we can see your nipples?
Well, I got like Phil Mickelson breasts.
Okay.
I should wear an undershirt. I'll make a note of that.
And but here's the thing. It's got one of those horses on there.
Polo. Like
Ralph Lauren. Is that new or is that vintage?
It's been sitting around in the closet. Waiting for an opportunity for you to poke fun at it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Now, so speaking of virgins, entering this series, what was the line?
So the favorite, of course, was Golden State, -250. You had to wager $250 to make 100 on Golden State.
Which says, because home teams, if the teams are even, the odds for the series are about -150?
Yeah, right around -150.
So you're saying Golden State was 100 cents better.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Which implies, let's think about that. If the series were in Houston, it would have been pick 'em.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. So that really shows you, because last year the series home court was Houston. And what was Golden State last year?
I think Golden State was a 2-1 favorite last year.
So really what they're saying is entering this series, the distance between Houston and Golden State was much smaller this year than last year.
Yeah, much closer together. And this despite Houston being worse this year than last year because they lost Trevor Ariza. They weren't quite as strong.
The results during the regular season, they were the fourth seed. Yeah. Obviously, they were number one, the Rockets, last year. But even so, the true distance between the teams from the Vegas perspective, less this season. Now, -250 to start. We're 4 games in, it's 2-2. Now, there's a couple ways to think about it. On one hand, you could say, Houston is at a deficit now because they've only got 2 more chances to win in Golden State, and they've got to win one of those and hold it home, whereas entering the series, you got four chances to win. So home court means more in a three-game series than it does a seven-game series. And oh, by the way, it means more in a one-game series, a game seven, because home court's the only, you know, it's the only thing that matters. You're at home that game. So on one hand, you would say advantage Golden State. On the other hand, you would say, Houston's proven they can play with them. Being 2-2 here is a positive for Houston, the underdog. Now, sometimes in the NBA, when it's 2-2, the odds go up. Sometimes they go down. What happened here?
Here, the odds went slightly down. Golden State's currently a minus 245 favorite.
Oh, we're splitting hairs.
A nickel difference.
So, Jonas, that's one thing that's interesting. Everyone calling, everyone's talking about, oh, my gosh, this is so close, and rightfully so, because there's, you know, win two more games, Golden State is out if Houston can win two more. But on the other hand, literally the odds are the same today as they were when the series started. The Golden State will get eliminated. Does that feel right to you as a fan?
After working this many months with you guys, yes, it feels right because I know how you guys think as opposed to the general media, and it's not the same.
And what do you think? What would you say the consensus of the general media is?
I think the consensus of the general media is to overreact, to think that, oh, the end is near and this is trouble, without actually looking back in full detail of what actually transpired in a game in order to get us to 2-2.
Okay, so Fez. By the way, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Steve Fezzik with us, Brad Powers here in Vegas, breaking down the aftermath of Game 4, Houston Golden State. The odds on the title. So forget the series. You got to win the series to win the title, though. The odds on the title, and we've said this a dozen times right here on Straight Out of Vegas, Golden State has been a historically big favor. I don't think there's been any point except that Houston series last year, and maybe I'm missing one other, where it hasn't been Golden State a minus money favorite to win the title. Meaning, and the context is always Michael Jordan and the Bulls during the heyday, that the fifth and sixth title, it was Jordan and the Bulls versus the field. So Jordan was about even money. The field was about even money. Golden State's been minus 150 or better pretty much every second in the last three seasons.
Exactly right. And for the most part, they've been around minus 200, a 2-1 favorite Golden State.
This season, it's been between 170 and 225 most of the year.
Yes.
And that's, again, laying 225 to win 100. Okay. What's the odds now?
Amazingly, the odds have dropped down to Golden State a pick'em, RJ, versus the field.
Now, entering this series, what were the odds?
They were still minus 155.
All right, so they were getting to the bottom of that. Okay, so explain this to me. Act like I'm a child, okay? And I got glasses. In fact, imagine I'm you as a child. And I ask this question. Professor Fezzik, explain something to me. If the odds of Golden State winning this series are the same today as they were starting the series, why aren't their title odds the same?
Because the bettors feel that Milwaukee has suddenly become a threat. Milwaukee is now perceived to be the number two team, and I agree with this, in the NBA. So the thought is, oh my gosh, if Houston can play Golden State almost equal and Golden State is home court, what's going to happen if Golden State has to play Milwaukee and it's Milwaukee that's going to have home court advantage? That is going to be a war.
So you're saying this isn't about downgrading Golden State. This is about upgrading Milwaukee.
Correct.
But let's not talk about the whole playoffs. Let's talk about what's changed with Milwaukee from when did this series start? Last Sunday, right? Like 9 days ago?
Yes.
Okay. So 10 days ago, Milwaukee had swept the first round.
Killed Detroit.
They were just entering the Boston series. I can't remember if game one was played or not. Okay, so it doesn't even matter. But here's the question. Has Milwaukee been that dominant?
Yes, because Milwaukee lost game one, and in games two, three, and four, they have absolutely crushed Boston to the point of, remember, after game one, Milwaukee was like pick 'em against Boston, a very small favorite to beat Boston. And then,
whoa, hold on. Say it again.
After game one, Milwaukee lost to Boston.
After game one. So for the series.
For the series against Boston, it was
obviously, if you're down game one, you're going to be almost. But I get they came back from their low point. But if you start at the start of the series between Boston and Milwaukee, can we really make the case that being up 3-1 is that big of a surprise? I don't care about the order of the games.
Well, let's talk about margin. They just crushed Boston back-to-back games in Boston. They won by double digits last night, and a great spot for Boston.
Yeah,
Boston,
that's an interesting point. You're saying
double-digit
double-digit wins on the road, two of them. You upgrade Milwaukee.
And Boston had been great as a home, as a favorite in the playoffs under Brad Stevens. So the fact that they're losing by this much margin, Milwaukee's really been outperforming expectations.
Okay. And Celtics about done, Brad, your team in our little pool here.
I'm going to start putting money in the middle of the table.
All right. So, Fez, what have you done with Golden State and with Houston? And I don't really care about the teams. Let's look at the net margin. Entering the series, how many points better did you think Golden State was than Houston?
I had Golden State 2.5 points better.
And now?
Only 1.5 points better.
So net-net, Houston's gained a point.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So this will be a good time for us to break. Because what I'm going to say when we come back is I'm going to explain why I think that's playing wrong. In my opinion, I don't think Houston has shown anything that wasn't expected over Golden State. And the reason is they've had so many situational advantages. I'll explain why.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, there's an aspect to the Rockets and Warriors series that is not being talked about.
Yes, I think the public perception is wrong. That's how you make money in Vegas, and we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you each weekday. Right now on the Strip, 84 degrees, the neon is flowing, and Fezzik's silky shirt has a little sweat, and it is gathering around the breast.
Guys, we transition smoothly from that over to this, where the Rockets and Warriors we discussed last segment here are now tied at 2 games apiece in their series. But RJ, you think Houston has had some other advantages not being discussed?
Well, I got to tell you, so let's set the stage here. The sense is, and even Fezzik, and let's hear it for the record a second time, though we do have the tape, you have Golden State's advantage over Houston, power ratings-wise, which is it's in a perfect vacuum. You're not worried about plane flights. You're not, how good is this team? That's the question in a power rating. You think Golden State was 2.5 points better before the series, down to 1.5 points better, so a 1 point move towards Houston.
Correct. I've upgraded Houston.
So Golden State wins at home. Golden State wins at home. Houston wins at home. Houston wins at home. So everyone met expectations. That could be one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, which I think gives you a little star, the idea that Houston's overperformed. Houston could have won all 4 games. They could have.
They could have.
So if, and Golden State could have won all 4.
Sure.
So if Golden State and Houston are that close, it could be 4-0-4, they can't be that much difference would be a thought. There could be, but at least there's information being added saying these teams are closer than you might think.
Yes, and bottom line, Golden State's only outscored Houston by 1 scant point, and Houston's 3-1 against the spread.
Scant. Now, have you ever heard him say scant?
No, he's doing it every day.
He's doing
now.
A word a day.
Yes, he is.
I wonder if he has one that he knows he's good. You know, like there's stories where someone says to their wife and the guy's on TV or radio, he says, I'm going to say blueberry pie. And when I say that, you know, I'm thinking of you. Right. Yeah. And then at some point he'll say, Man, that reminds me of my grandma's, you know, blueberry pie. I think Fez is coming in. Let me see the palm of your hands. Nope, he doesn't have any words written. All right. Okay. I think, though, you're wrong. So you're saying Houston and all the data, or a lot of the data, is pointing to Houston's closer to Golden State than you might think. I'm going to make the following statement. A lot of people aren't going to like this, but I think once we talk it through, it's going to be hard to disagree. I think the most dominant situational advantage in every game of this series was Houston. Houston had the one most important situational advantage, meaning you took the bus to work every day, which doesn't really make sense because you do have a mansion and a yacht. Well, that'd be funny if Fez had to take the bus because he spent all the money on the yacht. It's like imagine, it's like you see Fez and there's a picture of him in a yacht, and then you see him like on the bus line. It's like, how do you think I bought that yacht? All right, but let's assume you're passing the bus driver and he says, hey, most important factor tonight, Fez, and you say this. You got seven words. Game one, what was it?
Extra rest. Houston had been in the Bay 2 extra days while Golden State had to play down in Los Angeles.
Agreed. Advantage Houston. Game two.
Still extra rest for Houston, and the fact that...
Well, not extra rest because they had the same rest, but specifically, Golden State made a decision in game one.
Load up the minutes on all their superstars. So all these
The small
guys,
lineup especially of death, that's very effective.
Right, and the health of their guards, both Curry and Klay had ankle injuries. And remember, so they played lots of minutes, and they had to come back then in game two.
Every starter with Iguodala on that list played between, I think, 6 and 10 additional minutes in game one relative to the season's average.
Advantage Houston.
Because you only have 48 hours to turn it around in the playoffs. That's as small of rest, or as little rest as you can get. If you overplay your guys, you're kind of expecting game two to suffer. Okay. Game three, there was a bunch of rest, which advantage Golden State, but there was a bigger factor.
Yeah, the bigger factor, of course, was the 0-2 team coming home, the Houston Rockets.
And must win.
Must win. All in. All in. Crowd energy. Conspiracy theorists like myself would argue that, if anything, that would certainly benefit Houston in terms of the way the game, the game was called. It certainly couldn't hurt Houston.
Okay, but we're mixing points up. In general, game three is major, because this is just, I know you hate seven words, Fez. But the one would be must win, all in, Houston.
Correct.
Okay. Now, that's three in a row, right?
Yep.
Game four, what was the biggest factor?
I got it wrong. I thought the biggest factor was the fact that Golden State was off a loss, and they've been so good off of a loss in their playoff history under Kerr.
Okay. So you thought that. What do you think now?
I think that the having to play with only one day off and then having to play that next day was a very significant factor, and I think it showed all these starters for Golden State playing all these minutes, RJ. It really looks like it's impacting them, the Klay Thompsons in the world. They look a little bit fatigued out there.
And remember, game three went to overtime, so the starters had to play an extra 5-6 minutes.
That is the key. Thank you, Brad. Brad's like Silent Bob. When he talks, listen up. All right, so... to me, the following point is, yes, the series is Golden State plus a point. That sounds even. But I really believe, and you could say, you know, game three's factor is huge. You know, that must win is as big. I mean, how many points is, like, if you have a team, I mean, we saw it yesterday. Game three, the line was what? Houston at home.
Houston -3.5. And then look at game four, RJ. Houston pick 'em. So that game
and the
three,
only thing that changed was Houston won a game, yes, which means that's supposed to affirm Houston's competitive, but they're saying no. They shot the, you know, they spent their energy, and there's going to be a natural letdown.
Yes.
Okay. To me, we can say, oh, maybe that game two wasn't, but you add it up. I mean, Houston's had all the situational advantages, and it's really hard to imagine. It's really hard to imagine that if the series is this close and Houston has all these advantages, that it's just not a sign that Golden State is just as good as we thought entering the series.
Well, I'd be inclined to say all those situational advantages, how much are they worth each and every game on average? Maybe a point and a half on average?
Yeah, see, I'm just not sure how you – I mean, I'm not sure how you do that. And I and nothing – see, this is what's dangerous. You can always say, well, there's a half point here, a point there, but they won by 10. I just think in general, if two guys are running four races and one guy's got a couple extra pounds in his shoes – I don't know how to quantify how many tenths of a second that's worth, but if they tie the race, I'm thinking the other guy's fast.
Exactly. There's no question that Golden State is better, even though these teams have played evenly in the first four games. If these are the only four games you've watched, because as you mentioned, you could come over the top and say, look, Golden State's been in bad spots throughout this series, a lot of it being that having been pushed to six games against the Clippers, and that has set them back in these four games.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're asking the question, is the Houston team truly gaining on Golden State? I would make the case, let's look at the money as the final arbiter of this. We talked about in the first segment, Golden State was about even, or the odds of Golden State winning this series, entering the series versus now is almost identical.
Almost identical.
So if somehow, some way, Golden State is being caught by Houston, if there was a plus 1 point advantage for Houston, wouldn't that you think the odds would decrease? It seems like the market agrees with me that Golden State really hasn't lost any edge.
The market still believes in Golden State having that same edge over Houston. That's why the odds are the same. And let's face it, Golden State's got two home games now. Houston's only got one. Major advantage, Golden State.
Yeah, but there's a second side of that. We talked about it, which is the randomness of three games. Like, if I had to play Michael Jordan in horse, I have a much better chance of beating him 2 out of 3 than 4 out of 7, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So when you're a big underdog, you love the fact that you're tied 2-2 in a 7-game series.
Yeah, yeah, because what you got to do to win is being simplified, because every game as a big underdog, you're a big underdog.
Yes.
RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Couple last things. A lot of talk, and Fezzik mentioned conspiracy, extending the series. Even with our eye test yesterday or today preparing, we were talking about yesterday's game and said, yeah, it seemed like they let him play. I don't know who said that, but someone said that. Is that you, Brad?
No.
Okay. In the first two games, Golden State was at home. Combined, they had five more fouls called on them. So you look at Houston's fouls, you got those plus five more equals Golden State. When Houston was at home, game 3 and 4, Houston had four more fouls, meaning Golden State had four less. So you would think, okay, Golden State with the referee, and I even heard Colin talk about the refs today, refereeing advantage for Golden State in game 1 and 2. Well, yeah, they had five more fouls. Referee advantage for Houston in game 3 and 4. Well, they actually had four more fouls. So I think sometimes we're just searching for a pattern and searching and searching. And we want to find the patterns like in a tea leaf, but sometimes they're just not there. And the last thing I'll say is the idea that if you like Houston, I wouldn't be too down about me thinking Golden State's still significantly better. Because let's say this. If it is a game 7, you got a win in Golden State, Houston's probably the best suited team to win one game playing a high variance style.
Bombing the threes.
Meaning they just got to get hot one game. And if you're playing a more conventional team, that would be a clear underdog in the game. It's harder. Doesn't mitigate the fact of all the other things we discussed, but I do think at game 7, if there is one, even if Golden State's a clear favorite, what would they be? Probably 6 in game 7, Fez? -6?
Yeah, -6 and -250 on the money line.
Yeah. I think that Houston would be in it just because it's such a – they can shoot threes so well. In just a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about Boston – And is this the end with Kyrie?
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
A comeback for the ages as Liverpool was able to advance to the Champions League final with a 4-3 win over FC Barcelona today. Liverpool had actually trailed in the match after the first leg 3-0, but scored four unanswered in the second leg today at home, and now are on to the Champions League final for the second straight year. Tonight in the NBA playoffs, in about 90 minutes, Sixers and Raptors in their game five. Then at 10:30 Eastern time tonight, it's the Blazers and Nuggets. Both series are tied up at two games apiece. Oklahoma City Thunder forward Paul George underwent shoulder surgery to repair a partially torn tendon in his right shoulder. ESPN reports that he'll miss the start of training camp. The Thunder also announced that George will have a procedure in the next couple of weeks on his right shoulder and also said that Russell Westbrook underwent minor procedures on his finger and knees. PGA Tour player Chris Kirk announced today he's taking a leave of absence from the tour to deal with alcohol abuse. Kentucky Derby champion Country House won't run in the Preakness. After the horse became ill, it's the first time the Derby winner hasn't raced in the Preakness since 1996. Some hockey news. Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy suspended one game for his check to the head of Josh Anderson of the Blue Jackets in last night's Game 6 win, so he'll miss Thursday's Game 1 against the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight, a Game 7 in the West semifinal, Stars and Blues, 8 o'clock Eastern time from St. Louis. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a closer look at tonight's doubleheader in the NBA playoffs. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, looks like Celtics and Kyrie might be the end here. Let's start, Jonas, from the fan's perspective. Watching that game, I'm going to ask a very specific question. Did it feel like Kyrie's play, which was obviously poor, did it seem driven by some type of external factor?
Meaning, was it more
like hey, I'm not going to pass as much. I'm going to play hero ball or anything. You know, I guess the LeBron game, the last game in Cleveland, the first stint when there's all the rumors out there about all the drama that was going on. And he just seemed really out of it in that case. Oftentimes, Kobe, that one game series against Phoenix, I think it was, he was so unhappy with his teammates. He just refused to shoot in the second half. It just feels like they're not playing their normal game. Because you can play a normal game and miss a lot of shots.
Yeah, I don't think it was that. I just think Milwaukee's better.
So you didn't see anything from Kyrie that made you think, huh, something's going on?
No. Milwaukee's just
so
better.
Who disagrees?
I disagree strongly.
Uh-oh, well, let's let Brad go.
First off, shot selection. It seemed like Kyrie was forcing some shots. He's had at least not only this past game, game number four, but the last three games, shots not falling for Kyrie. I would take
Hold on now. If shots aren't falling, that is random, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he's been taking good looks. He's had his worst three-game stretch in his playoff entire career in the last three games.
So give me the numbers.
Yeah, and this is from Mackey. 19 out of 62. That's Kyrie last three games.
All right, shooting. So 19, 62 attempts, 19 makes.
Yep.
Not great. Give it context.
Well, I mean, it's the worst three-game stretch that he's had. It's about 10%.
In any three games ever or in the playoffs?
Any three-game stretch in the playoffs.
Okay.
And the eye test, RJ, I know you hate to hear eye test, but literally Kyrie, there's plenty.
Well, listen, eye test can be the icing on the cake. I want the numbers.
There's plenty of time left on the shot clock, and Kyrie goes 7 for 22 last night, and he keeps putting up these line drive, horrible shots, and you're like, there's no way that's going. One of his shots actually did a wedge job. It wedges between the backboard and the rim. That's not being a little bit off. That's taking shots that have no chance of going in.
So we used to play on an 8-foot hoop. And I'd go up and try to slam it and get wedged in there like that.
Wedgie, yeah.
No, that's the wedgie's totally different. Yeah. That's your
that's what happened to you in high school.
You're thinking about when you right before the swirly.
Yes.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. So Jonas, are you just saying these guys are crazy, or can you see what they're seeing?
No, listen, there's been issues there all season long. So I can understand why people would use that narrative and apply it to this as Kyrie's not happy there. That's why they're not playing well. Well, then what was happening in the Indiana series? They swept them. What happened in game one? The bottom line is Milwaukee's a better team. They're a deeper team. And Brad Stevens is getting out-coached.
Yeah, but still, Boston's supposed to win at home.
Yeah.
Right? Even if the amount of the degree that Milwaukee is better than Boston Boston's not supposed to lose two at home by double digits.
No, but they did, and I think a large part of that is what happened. Yeah, I think a large part of that is what has happened after halftime. And for all the love that we want to give Brad Stevens, it seems like Milwaukee's the team that comes out better prepared in the third quarter, and they've dominated that quarter, and that's been the difference.
That's interesting, because I think people reevaluated Stevens when it came to ego management, questioning his abilities, his gravitas, right? If you're Popovich, if you're Phil Jackson, who's the guys that can, I think there's two types of coaches that can coach a superstar. One is the guy that's at the same level, Popovich, Coach K, you look at the Olympic team. And then you've got the, you know, kind of the toady or the assistant coach, whatever you want to call, where really LeBron's coaching the team. Right, because if LeBron says it's him or me, Ty Lue better have his airline tickets bought, right? So, and really Stevens is in this weird in between where I'm not sure who would. That's interesting. If Kyrie said, "Boston, I'll re-sign with you. Got to get rid of Brad Stevens. I'll sign a 5-year deal. What do you think? Or I'm gone. I think they keep Stevens.
Yeah, I would. Stevens would be the slight favorite.
I think a bigger favorite.
He'd be a significant favorite, but we wouldn't even be having this conversation a month ago. It'd be like, are you crazy? Stevens is one of the best five coaches in the NBA. And now, as Jonas has mentioned, these third quarter turnarounds, I mean, Stevens is making no adjustments or his team is zoning him out.
Well, first off, you can't. I mean, listen, you're a master reading the screen, the odds. You're a master of a lot of this. You're not really figuring out what Stevens is doing in adjustments, right?
Fair enough.
Seeing the results. We know that it's a small sample size, but boy, for something that's supposed to be a strength, halftime adjustments, I think Jonas is right. It certainly hasn't been a strength here. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last word on the Celtics-Milwaukee recap. Fez, what's the line in the next game? I like Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's laying 9.
That's what I'm saying. I see this as a run out because let's be candid. Boston gets down 12 in the third. There's a decent chance they pack the tents, right?
Exactly. And what I like about your handicap, RJ, in many ways, Boston's down 1-3 here, but it feels like almost like that when a team's down 0-3 and the team has given up, and when the team gives up, they never cover down 0-3, never cover. They rarely cover. And
oh, stop. You're saying like 4 things wrong. One, I think you're trying to make a great point, so let's slow it down. Boston's true ability, Milwaukee's true ability, you can't have almost 90 games and think that this last game or these last two are going to tell you all that much. We're talking smidges, right?
Correct.
But what was the line in the Milwaukee-Boston game 1?
Milwaukee was 7.5-point favorite.
Okay. And now in game 5... they're 9.
1.5 adjustment.
The only thing that's changed, if anything, Smart's back, right?
Yeah, but he played very poorly last night.
Okay, but what I'm saying in general, injury-wise, there's been addition or subtraction. What's changed? It's motivation. It's psychology. It's everything other than how good the teams really are. You brought up one of the great examples. When a team's down 3-0, when a team is down 0-2 and they have that must-win game 3 we've talked about, if they lose that game, Brad, the adjustment to game 4 when you were thinking it went from a must-win till we can't win, how many points of adjustment?
We saw in the first round, 4, 5, even as high as 6 points.
So literally the same players on the team that's up, the same players on the team that's down, and there's 5 or 6 points different at the same venue. No change in home court. Who in the heck can say that there isn't psychology to it? Now, once that adjustment's been made, Fez, those teams cover almost 50% of the time.
Right.
The key is the adjustment itself.
Exactly
saying,
right.
We're accounting for this huge factor. You'll meet a lot of sports fans that say, oh, the psychology, these are professionals. They're getting paid millions of dollars. I'll have a fight with the wife and I go to work and drive that bus, you know, but we can say it's right, we can say it's wrong. but it's undebatable the psychology of chance to win, how happy we are at this, you know, Kyrie is at this on the Celtics. It all plays a major role. Agreed?
Agreed strongly.
The numbers back it up. Speaking of numbers, when we come back, we got two games tonight in the NBA. We're going to break those two down, Vegas style, and Baker Mayfield and OBJ talking crazy, and I kind of like it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've got a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs on TNT, tipping off a little over an hour from now in Toronto. It is the Raptors, a six-point favorite hosting the 76ers.
Little Leonard Cohen in the rotation there. Great song. Fez, what do you think on the game?
I lean to Toronto, RJ.
You got any picks today?
I do.
You do?
Yes, it's
not
coming.
Just lean.
Just a lean on this one. Picks right. Coming. Concerns about Embiid. Shocker. Health and minutes played. Embiid against Brooklyn the entire series. He only played 97 minutes. Against Toronto, he's already played 125 minutes going back to Sunday. He's got that knee tendonitis. He's also got an upper rest.
Hold on. Are you following this, Brad?
Yeah, is it priced in to the line?
No, but what is he saying? I'm going to start having you interpret.
Embiid is banged up, and he's played a
lot.
All right,
so how many minutes did Embiid play against Brooklyn?
He played 97 minutes the entire series.
Yeah, against Brooklyn.
Against Brooklyn.
I heard you. And how many minutes this series?
He's already played 125.
So that's a sign he's healthy and playing.
No, it's a sign they need him to win the series, in my opinion, because he was not healthy in game four, and they made him play 35 minutes. And he had
first
the flu.
First of all, how do we know that he's not? Oh, because of the flu. So, but if you're going to make the court, it just feels like we're grasping backwards, trying to apply things, patterns to this. I don't understand your point. The fact he's playing more minutes is a sign he's not healthy.
The fact he's playing more minutes because they need Embiid to be able to win.
How do you know that? Because how many minutes did he play the last competitive game against Brooklyn? 33 or 34, right? And then the next game, they
20,
were
up, no, 20, 20,
the next 20. Game,
20.
They were up big, and they sat their starters at the end.
Yeah, he only played
included.
One. He only played one.
So
game.
The last competitive game,
32 minutes. Game
32
four.
Minutes. How many did he play? 10 days later, the most recent game,
35.
So what are you talking about?
Because he's having to play 33 minutes a game, each and every game, RJ.
Yeah, with 2 and 3 days off in between.
Well, he had to play Sunday, and now
BS.
He's got to play tonight. I don't think it's BS. I think he's got...
First of all, have you won a game yet in this Sixer series?
No.
Seriously. So don't be that sure right now. You don't have a good feel for
And I don't
series.
Know. I don't have a good feel
well,
for
him. Well, then why are you acting like you do? You're saying, they got to have him play the way. They got... Like, why act like you know what you don't know?
Because I think that the fact that he was so sick on Sunday and he has to come right back here on Tuesday, I'm worried about the upper respiratory and I'm worried about the knee for Embiid.
But the knee wasn't a problem when he played 33 minutes hyper-effectively 10 days ago in game three against Brooklyn.
It was not.
Or the penultimate game against
it
Brooklyn.
It was not. He looked great.
So we're just making stuff up about the knee now.
No, he's got recurring knee tendonitis.
And do you know it's worse today?
I don't know.
So why are we acting like we do? That's what I don't understand.
It might be worse with all these minutes he's playing. I don't know.
I think that's fair to say. I think that you look at Embiid, and Brad, tell me if you agree with this. You look at Embiid and you say, he hasn't been playing all that great this series. Now, how much of that is health and how much is Gasol? Right? Gasol was brought in, and the Ringer had a good article about this, especially to combat Embiid. He was the defender of the year not that long ago. He's physically bigger than Embiid. It's a rare matchup. I don't know which, but Embiid hasn't been playing great. We know he had the flu, and it's been 48 hours, right? So maybe he's not fully recovered. And we know his knee's been janky. I don't know how healthy it is right now. I don't know why he's playing the minutes he is. We can speculate, but let's not act like we know. So you add it up, you lean which way?
I lean to Toronto. It's like a free roll. If Embiid plays well, I think the line is fair. If Embiid plays poorly, I think we get a good, really good bet on Toronto. So it's a lean Toronto.
I like that. I think you think that if we knew Embiid was going to play a good game, the current line would be
fair.
Which is what?
Six.
Wow. It seems like if Embiid's playing well, these are even teams.
No, I have Toronto still 2 points better.
But that assumes not Embiid isn't playing well every game.
No, that's even with Embiid playing well.
That makes no sense. You're saying your power rating assumes Embiid's playing well every game, even though he doesn't.
Correct.
That's insane. How do you account for the fact that half the games he doesn't play well?
Well, then you have to make adjustments downward, and you're guessing more often than not. That's why it's so difficult to handicap Philly.
You like the next game?
I do.
You got 50 seconds.
I like Denver here. Denver is healthy. Denver's point guard, Murray's back to 100%. He was all banged up games two and games three after that really long series against San Antonio. So Denver's healthy. Portland is not healthy at center. Portland's starting center, Nurkic, is out. Portland's backup center, Enes Kanter, re-injured his shoulder. Major problem with the Joker. Jokic has been absolutely...
So the backup center, what was his situation in game four?
Kanter had separated shoulder.
When did he hurt himself?
Hurt it before the series started, then re-injured at game three and was a shell of himself game four.
Okay.
Only got 5 points, Kanter.
So really, what we're saying is Denver's true differentiator is the Joker. The ability for Portland to guard him is really compromised. You would look at Kanter's injury and shrug most of the time, but it's very valuable here.
Correct.
All right. We try to get to the truth, Jonas. It's painful. Sometimes it's painful.
That's fun, though, either way. The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas, seeking the truth again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.